glad as night. So the light from the sun would not burn me on my bum when I shoot the moon.
Hill's got it. Driven into the ground with a pulverizing tackle from Ambrose. Oh, I think the Bombers are going to go up with it here. Bombers and runs.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock. With me, The Solution, and joining me today is Fiona.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm just sitting here pondering what shade of fuckery is going to be bestowed upon us on Saturday night.
I know what shade it will be. Fluorescent green. What do the umpires wear?
Yeah.
That's the easiest one to answer ever.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so this is Fiona's forecast, round two. Thanks to everyone that listened last week, by the way. You had a great response. And keep the feedback. By the way, like and subscribe and all of that shit on the YouTube if you can, even if you listen on the podcast. But this week we're going to go through the changes. We're going to do the Smoking Joe and the Sitting Joe and then predict who's going to win. We have changes to speak of this week, and they're fairly significant. Firstly, the outs. Zach Reed, I can't believe it. How does awareness become, you know, a minimum month out on a strain? I don't know. I tried to call my boss this morning and said, look, I'm out today. I can't come in. He said, are you sick? I said, no, I've just got awareness. He told me to get fucked. How are you feeling? It's pretty depressing, isn't it?
Oh, I just, my heart just breaks for this kid because, you know, you can just tell he's being so diligent, you know, to get his body right. And, yeah, it's not in his head as we hoped it was. And, look, I think it was just a bit of wishful thinking that it was just awareness, and they've said 4 to 6 weeks to be cautious. He might come back sooner, but I'm just gutted for him. I can't put it any other way.
Yeah, me too. It's almost too depressing to contemplate.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Probably a question for another day. Then Redmond suspension. Now, initially I was kind of furious just on principle, if nothing else, that we didn't contest this suspension. But then when they broke down how you couldn't actually downgrade any of the categories, it shows how fucked this MOR system is. It's an absolute hilarious joke. That's firstly. And secondly, okay, I understood why the club didn't.
Smart.
Yeah, but any comment there?
No comment there other than to say he was a liability in last week's game, so I'm hoping it's not going to be too much of a loss this week. I totally understood. I felt no hard done by not challenging it. I trust Brad Scott in terms of that he's come from. He's sat in on all those tribunals and he knows the technicalities, and it would have been 10 grand in the cap wasted. So leave it to be.
Agree. And then poor old Mac Welfi.
He has one fucking good game and trust
exactly. It's just Murphy's Law, isn't it?
My God.
Such a shame. But do we know how long that will be?
Not sure. I think it'll be pretty significant. Three to four, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, bad luck for him. And then, I mean, we spoke about it on the podcast. I postulated whether Sam Draper might come in. You guys all poo-pooed me and said he won't. I didn't say you. I said you guys as a collective. But we did talk about whether we'd be top-heavy if Draper did come in. And I guess it makes sense that Harrison Jones gets dropped out of the tools.
Oh, that's what I said. I said on the pod. I said if Draper comes in, then you can't carry all four of those tools, and Harry is the obvious makes way.
Yep. So he needs to go back and just keep working on his game, I think.
Needs to have a good – I want to see him have a good 5-week block in the VFL where he's tearing it up. best on ground, kicking two goals a game, beating his opponent every week. So I want to see 5 consecutive weeks where he's doing that in the VFL. Never done it. Never needed to, because he's come straight into the team.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I'm not even concerned about how many goals he scores. I just want him to get his hands on the footy, take some marks, and make himself a presence. And I think if he can do that, it won't be long before he's back. But the Inns, some exciting ones. Well, one is exciting one. I think pre-season we spoke about, like last year, it might have been in October, we spoke about will Draper even be seen in the first half of the season. And we have to consider it a resounding success that he's fit and is actually available for selection by round 2. What do you think?
Well, my mail on that is that he's been really, a lot of congratulatory effort has to go to him for being really, really diligent in having a type of Zach Merritt / 2 meter Peter type rehab season that he was out. He's, you know, done everything possible to get himself back early, and clearly it's kind of worked. So, yeah, well done to him, and I just hope he's over that hump now, because he's put in, a lot of work and had to be really patient mentally. And I'm talking a lot of work mentally, because at the end of the day, they're athletes, their brains, the biology in their brains are made to compete and want to push themselves beyond what sometimes their body says. And so finding that balance has been really difficult, and is very difficult for some. But I've been told he's done a lot of work mentally. So good on Big Drapes. And I hope I think we have to really taper our expectations on him this week. He's going to run out of pump. He is. He's going to run out of steam. And I just think we need to just not put so much pressure on him.
Yeah, I assume what's going to happen is it'll sort of start with him as second ruck, and over time, if all goes to plan, over time he'll end up in a month's time doing the bulk of the ruck work, or maybe doing 60% or 70%.
Well, they've really worked on his forward craft this off season as a matter of look for seeing into the future that Goldie is probably not as good in that department, and that Draper can be a very damaging forward when he's down there. I'm referencing the Adelaide game from last year when he was fantastic, kicked three goals while Flip was doing the ruck work. So he'll spend a lot of time forward Saturday night, and I guess they'll hope to get ascendancy over Brodie Grundy. They'll hope to get, tag team him, and I think they're going to have to put some Sicily type pressure into him and make sure that they know that where he is at every point of the game, just to make him feel that little bit uncomfortable, because he's a superb athlete. So I don't necessarily think he's going to be outrun by them, but I think if they can put some body and pressure on him, we could
make him accountable.
That's right. We could potentially get some ascendancy in that department.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, another in is Hobbs. Question I have for you is he a straight swap for Guelphy? And can he play as a small forward?
Absolutely not. No.
Why?
He's not wired that way. He's just not wired that way. He's an in and under bull. He's a parish. He's just not wired that way. He won't be defensively as capable as Guelphy or Menzies, even though he's got work to do in that department.
He can kick a goal though. He can kick straight. We've seen that before.
Beautiful goal kicker, and he will rest in the forward line, and he will play half forward, no doubt. But he doesn't have the shutdown small forward capabilities in my opinion.
Okay, interesting. Mm. I thought that might be the case. Could it be Nick Hind? We know Nick Hind's been experimented with up forward.
Super happy to see him back. And, it'll be interesting whether to see. My gut says that they'll put him in the forward line to fill that Guelphy role, because I think we lack more there than we do in that Redmond spot, having Kelly back there and Hip. So I think they'll forego and they'll forget that Redmond's not there kind of thing because we have cover. I think it's way more imperative that we get that forward pressure, because that was still very concerning to me against Hawthorn. The ball ricocheted out, aside from a few good patches where we kept it in there. The ball did ricochet out quite a bit.
It did, yeah.
And we're not going to be as lucky.
Not just out of the forward line, all the way to their forward line.
Correct. Quite with ease. Yeah. So, and we're not going to be as lucky. The Swans are going to punish.
Right, no doubt. Now, you used the term super happy. Does that describe your feeling for the other guy that's come in, Levert? You can laugh out loud.
All I can say in regards to him is he's on notice. He is on notice. Round one in the VFL. If that is not a message that Brad Scott is sending you after you've been gifted games out of necessity, now that is debatable. I did think not last year, but the year before he had a good year. Admirable.
No, he did. He did. He did have a good year.
Yeah, but last year you could argue that he was gifted games because of necessity, because we lacked. Zachary didn't come up and we lacked a tall forward. But now, solution, he is on official notice. This is his chance to cement this spot.
His reprieve, basically.
His reprieve. No, there is no greater message than a round one VFL stint when you're fit. No worries for Dylan Scheel, no worries for Ben Hobbs, no worries for Draper in the VFL. They're all coming back from injury. But for Laverty, who's not missed a trick in the off-season, was fully fit, that is a message. And power to him. I hope he stands up and I hope he is mentally there, because in the off-season games, his brain was not telling his body what to do, or vice versa. Awful.
His brain was not telling his body what to do. What do you mean?
As in his body was functioning without thought. So his brow, there was no connection between his brain and his body. He was doing the most stupid things.
Most footballers are better without thinking.
Yeah, but I reckon they're the types like you, Jake Stringer, like no thinking, because they've got such good footy nous. But I wouldn't put Laverty in that category. He needs to be switched on mentally, and this is his time.
Okay, well, let's hope he turns it around and has a great game. All right, do you think anyone was unlucky? Is there anyone you thought might have come in that didn't?
Do I think anyone? Well,
a bit bare, really, isn't it? I guess no. Shield's knocking on the door. Parrish isn't ready.
Yeah, I think Shield is. It's been a long time since he's played football. I think he's going to need to get the cobwebs more out in the VFL.
Slowly.
Yeah, I am getting a little bit more worried about Sydney, to be honest, and playing them, just because they have two of the biggest weapons in the AFL, in my opinion, and one of them's Heaney and the other one is the Lizard. And they are both just, I rate them so incredibly highly. They've been my top 25 players in the AFL and have been for a long time. And if possible, Heaney's looking even better this year. So, I'm a bit concerned. We're going to have to nullify both of them.
So moving to the game, you're going to do the sitting Joe this week. Yep. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
But just before we get to those two awards or nominations, whatever we call them.
Mm-hmm.
So firstly, how do we do that? How do we nullify both those guys, do you think? Or how do we attempt to nullify them?
Yeah, I was going to say.
You're not going to nullify them. I guess you're going to minimise their impact.
Minimise, yeah. Look, I think we've got the weapons to do it. And my gut, Heaney's a bit like Stringer in that he's a really good midfielder and he's a really good forward. He's damaging in both departments, and his transition from midfield to forward line is seamless. You blink and he's gone. So I think when he's around the midfield, my gut feel says Caldwell to play a really defensive kind of role on him, watch him really closely, make him accountable. And then in the forward line, why change something that's worked? King Kelly, pout him up when we played at the G. Pout him up, and the only time he kicked two goals, and they were both on Redmond when Redmond was covering him. Kelly absolutely monstered him, so I would make Kelly switch onto him when he's in the forward line. When he's in the forward line, yeah, for them. The Lizard, he's going to be harder to stop, really hard. And they use his run off half back better than any other kind of player and team in the AFL, in my opinion. He gives them so much. And I don't know that there's a better nickname to a better player. Do you? He looks like a lizard. He's kind of, his back is kind of shaped and he's got the mullet. And I don't know that there's another player that personifies their nickname better than him.
Yeah. It is a weird nickname, though. Do you know how he got the lizard?
I think it's because he looks like or moves. I think he moves. He's very stretchy, so he kind of, and very athletic.
I thought it might be because his name's Blakey.
Yeah.
So Blake is normally associated with a snake.
Is it?
Yeah, like a Joe Blake, a snake. So I thought maybe it's an ironic name.
Right. Oh, okay. Could be just thinking.
You know, like someone with red hair you might call Bluey, that kind of thing.
I've never heard of that. Why is that?
Haven't you?
No.
Okay. So according to Google.
Yeah. Oh, no, we've Googled.
He looks like he's called that because he looks like the lizard of Men in Black.
Oh, so it's a specific. What's the lizard in Men in Black? I don't think I've even seen that movie, actually.
I'll put it in the chat.
Yeah, I thought it had to be that he kind of is lizard looking.
It's or maybe harsh.
Is it?
It's harsh, yeah.
Okay.
It is.
Anyway, Lizard, Blakey, whatever you want to call him, he's sensational. So, I don't even know who's going to line up on him, to be honest. Whoever he lines up on, he's going to lose. I'm just going to say that. I don't know, maybe Langford.
Yeah.
But even that stage, it's like...
It could be. I mean, it's a bit like when you're faced with a great key forward or whatever the role, the battle of the midfield. It's going to be about how our team plays, how quickly it comes into our forward line versus how slow we move it, how predictable we are. Do we continue to just bomb into the, which can sometimes happen in the Sydney Cricket Ground, you sort of get sucked into that, keep bombing into that one spot about 30 metres out.
Mm.
Or are we, are we moving it with intelligence? Are we leading? It's probably going to be how the team plays, I'd imagine.
Yeah, they're probably going to need a lot of work again from the midfielders to stop that run off half back. And not just the forwards keeping it in our forward line.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident in the Tools keeping their Tools under wraps, especially in Ben McKay, whoever he lines up on, probably Amati, because they've got three very, very young and inexperienced forwards, McDonald, I think it's McLean and Amati. So I think that Laverty and... He'll get a relatively kind of like-for-like matchup. Ben McKay will line up on one, and then who else have we got down there? Who's the third tall? Not Redmond.
Well, it'd really be Laverde now, won't it?
No, he's the second tall. Who's our third tall? Maybe
Cox.
Oh, Cox. Oh, apologies, Nick. Cox is the third tall.
No, I put Cox as second to Laverde's third right now.
Okay, so anyway, I have confidence in those three. They should, by rights, be able to manage one-on-one. But if the ball is coming in slow and fast, and then there goes who plays on Papley is the other question, because he's, whilst King Kelly gets Heaney, Papley can be just as, God, he's a fucking error. Oh, my God. You just know he was a shit of a child. You just know he was the worst behaved kid in the primary school. You just know that. You just know. So he's going to be another who's going to kill us.
Plus, as you mentioned earlier, the umpires.
Oh.
Or I mentioned. All right, so I'm going to give you a smoking Joe, aren't I, first?
Yeah, go on.
All right. I am going to pick Let me see. I'm going to pick a guy who played well last week and who I think might be able to impose himself in a way that we're going to need a big body in the middle, a guy who can impose himself, a guy who can physically not just maybe get the ball himself, but tackle, block for others, set a field.
Mm-hmm.
He's my predicted Smoke and Joe.
God, he had a good game and so underrated. I'm so happy that Brad Scott mentioned him twice in his post-game interview and on 360. Mm. He specifically said his name along with Caldwell's, and I'm really, really happy for that because a lot of his work goes unrewarded. He's another one, sorry, who could play on Heaney in the midfield.
That's what I'm thinking, whether he plays on him directly or not, just having that
body.
And maybe we double team him. You know, both guys have a crack at playing him close, but yeah, I think he can go. He plays a really good game. It'll go a long way to us being competitive.
Yeah, it'll just give those other young mids chance to do what they do best. Just allow Hobbs and Perkins and Calders to do what they do best when they go in there. And I suspect Merritt will have to really lead the good ball use because he was a bit iffy last week with his ball use. Him and Martin are going to have to be on their A game because we're going to get absolutely sliced up if we produce what we did against the Hawks.
Yeah, I think we know, I mean, you alluded to it earlier, we know what a professional Merritt is.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great game on paper last week, but knowing him, he's probably thought, no, I need to raise my game this week.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay, well, that's the easy one. Who are you going to torch? Who's going to be the sitting Joe?
The sitting Joe. All right. This is probably a little bit harsh, given it's just his second game, but I'm going to go.
I thought you were going to go Levert. I was going to disallow it.
Hey, no. I'm within the rules. It's my pick. No, I'll True. give Levert his free reign, as I've already said. This is his second chance. I'm going to say Dersma. I thought he was iffy last week, and I thought he almost, if it wasn't his first game, he almost could have made nomination for Henneman of the week because I thought he was very, very fumbly, and I thought he struggled personally. But he was in the same, for me, he was in the same frame as Martin in that they just struggled with their disposal and their efficiency. But as with Martin, he has a lot of credits in the bank. Dersma was his first game, and there's got to be a rule somewhere in the legislation that you can't give a Henneman to a very first gamer. So this week, this is very, very, very much a reverse Moz. Like, I want to see the best out of him. I really want to see some clean ball use, some clean ball pickups, like bump balls. He was just off in that department last week, and he worked. Oh, he worked up and down that ground. He's as fit as a fiddle and will run all day for the team. But I don't know if it's that when he actually gets to the ball, he's out of puff, out of steam, and can't, his head's like he's seeing stars because he's so tired by the time he gets there that the disposal then suffers. Or I'm not sure. It could have just been an off game. Could have been nerves. Yeah. Could have been the heat. Whatever. Reverse Moz. Hope he has a great second round up. But, yeah.
Now, I share your concern. I remember thinking even last week, I remember all the talk about bringing him in was about his run.
Which he gave us.
And I thought another game like that, just run away, mate. Right.
Keep running yeah, across keep running out the run home.
Yeah, right, just run out the gate, into the rooms, grab your bag, keep running. But yeah, if it wasn't the first gamer, and if he was a regular, I think he would have been mentioned in even Henneman terms.
Yeah.
But you're right. He's a new shiny toy.
Yeah.
Albeit a toy that we've borrowed or swapped with another mate.
He's used. He's a used toy. But nonetheless, we love used toys. We're second homing them. I just felt a little bit bad because, you know, Goldie, Gresh and Mackay got so many plaudits this week. So this is a very, very much a reverse Moz, and I'm all in on Zave. I want to see him play really well against Sydney.
Yeah, yeah. All right. No point giving a wild card because it is the umpires.
And because you don't actually remember what the wild card segment is about, so, and because you don't do homework, of course you didn't go back and...
Of course I didn't, but I think I didn't need to. The wild card is simply, this is the kind of X factor, external factor that I'm suggesting would influence the game. And usually, this is why we probably need to bin the segment, because it's usually only one of two things. It's either weather or it's umpiring. Or it might be something anomalous like travel. But mind you, just on that point, this is something we're going to start to talk about it as a fan base in the next few weeks, I think, particularly if we lose these games. Three of the next four away. Three of the next four interstate.
It's obviously not next week. We're back here for St Kilda, and then the next two is away.
Traversing the country.
Okay. Well, that just makes me hope that we're getting them out of the way now. Is that glass half full?
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Glass half full for this pod?
I guess so. I mean, just to recap, so we've got Sydney, obviously. Then we play the Saints. Then we play Port away. Oh, okay. Sorry, I was wrong. Then we play Bulldogs. Adelaide away, mind you. But then Anzac Day. Then West Coast home. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4 away games in 7 weeks.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot of miles.
Yeah. But it's got to be done. And if we're going to win a final, we've got to win anywhere, anytime.
Yeah, but I think it's pretty well understood that travel does take it out of players in terms of their ability to rehab.
Finish what you're going to say.
Oh, no, you're right. I was just rambling.
I was just going to say I prefer to have a fair run by the umpires. I'll travel every week so long as you give me a fair fucking run. If the players are going to come to the party and try their guts out and actually do, you know, put in the work and come to play, then the umpires have got to give us a fair fucking go. And last night, I hate to be a Collingwood apologist, but last night they weren't given a fair go. I don't know if you caught the game, the St Kilda game, but fuck me sideways and up the fucking wall. I tell you what, all night, and it's don't look at the score. I didn't even look at what the free kick count was because it wasn't about what the free kick count was. It was the ones that were not getting paid to Collingwood that were getting paid to St Kilda. The holding the balls, the little throws, the running too far, that the Saints were getting all these ticky touchwood ones, but Collingwood would players would do the exact same thing and get nothing.
I mean, I laughed my ass off.
Yeah, it's ironic, isn't it?
It was hilarious.
And they deserve some of the medicine that, you know, that they've been on the opposite other end of.
Like so the grand final. End, but
yeah,
As an example.
And the prelim. What about the prelim?
Prelim was worse. But it is worrying that umpires can have such an influence on a game. And I really question. I mean, look, people, if I'll just strap my tinfoil hat back on, sure. Which is, you know, we all have Windy Hill Windsock issued tinfoil hats on this podcast.
we should create them. That can be our merch.
It's not bad. It's not bad at all. You should think about it. Yeah. But the Premier League referees, you consider the Premier League is the number one league in the world. Dwarfs the NBA. The soccer. Dwarfs the NBA. Of the NBL, in terms of viewership, in terms of money, it is the premier competition, club competition in the world. And referees have come out and admitted they were biased in recent. This is recently, recent years. Recent referees who've resigned have come out and said that. So you can't tell me.
Oh my God.
NBA referees have admitted they've cheated in the past. You cannot tell me that we can just assume that our game is completely free from any kind of bias or cheating. I don't believe it. Every single competition, a competition that's run by people are flawed. It's administered by people. People make mistakes. We understand that. But when it's so far to one team's benefit.
And this is the thing. I saw people saying, oh, I can't blame the umps. No, you can't if it's just one or two. You sigh, you boo, you groan, and you move on. But this was four quarters of the most blatantly pro St Kilda umpiring. There's four umpires. Umpires were on that page because they were happening every point of the ground, in their forward line, in their forward 50, in the midfield, in the ruck. It was happening all over the ground, like they had come together at the start of the game and said, look, we just needed, this is creating really good drama. And AFL House have just said that Collingwood has to lose again. So let's just give Saints the edge. I could hear that conversation happening. Like, that's how, and again, and this is an Essendon supporter sticking up for Collingwood. So for me to be saying that, I thought, fuck you. And right or wrong, when that starts happening, subconsciously in the player's head, they're thinking, fuck, I'm not getting a fair go here. Why should I put my best foot forward if the umpires are just going to, like, put the roadblock up every time I go hard for the ball or, you know? It's subconscious, and you can call it soft or weak or timid or whatever you want, but it's subconscious.
Long-term followers of this podcast, particularly of my Twitter feed, will know I've raged against people on this very point. I've always said, don't tell me umpires don't matter. Yeah. Of course they do.
One or two here and there, no problem. But there's games where it's so one-sided. Blatantly. Look, and don't throw kind of, I don't even know what the free kick count ended up, but it's the ones that weren't called for the same.
Yeah. But see, what they do is they'll review each game, as they do, and they'll come along and they'll say, well, we had a 91% correction. We were 91% right with all of our decisions. I can't even talk English at the moment. But they'll base it on reviewing decisions in isolation.
Yeah.
So given our decisions have such a bandwidth of subjectivity, and there's such a continuum with the difference between a push in the back 1 week versus the next, you can look at any push in the back in isolation and say, yeah, he was touched on the shoulder. And that's fine if you're paying every single touch on the shoulder. What they never, ever do is review their decisions in the context of a game, in the context of other decisions made. So, I
also think to myself, and this, maybe this is naive, and maybe people who become umpires are not footy fans, because how do you just switch off your love for your team? Like, that's like saying, okay, go umpire a Essendon North Melbourne game.
Yeah.
How do I not stop my internal bias? Like, are these umpires just, they must just be soccer fans and not follow AFL? Because how do you internally stop that bias against the team that you grew up loving?
I mean, maybe, like, a lot of them grow up as umpires, and so instead of going to the footy, they're, like, umpiring local football. So maybe that's part of it.
Right, okay. Yeah.
But I think it's more a case, like I wonder whether the umpires get together and say, look, we're not going to be influenced by the crowd today. We know it's a Collingwood heavy crowd. We are not going to be influenced. We're gonna umpire this fairly, and with that in their head, and this preconceived notion, they just proceed to ignore Collingwood free kicks. I don't know. I don't know how it works, but it was all there to see yesterday.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll move on. But it just felt like AFL House had sent a memo. That's what it felt like, and just said, this is a great story. It's creating great, you know, drama online. So let's make the Pies go 0-3 because it's creating pork. That's what it felt like. Now, again, call us conspiracy theorists. I don't know. Anyway, moving on.
Agree. So let me know in comments on the YouTube clip when we post this up. Would you buy Windy Hill Windsock branded tinfoil hats? So we did a run of hoodies.
Do I need to copyright that idea?
Possibly. We did a run of hoodies about 6 or 7 years ago. People loved them. Yeah. They've been asking for merch to come back. In keeping with our kind of underground nature, we've resisted anything that's going to make us a single cent. But that would be funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let me know. Let me know. All right. Prediction. Now, in the podcast, I think you predicted something in the teens. I predicted a bit of a thumping.
Yeah.
Has
confidence
anything
has waned, definitely.
Got worse, has it?
It has, yeah, yeah. I'm going to blow my prediction out to 28. I did say 19. I'm going to add 10 points onto that, maybe two goals. So I'm going to say 28.
Like, in summary, how's it going to play out, do you think?
I think that we're going to get overrun really quickly. I think the crowd will be up and about for them. I think Papley will probably kick 5 in the first quarter. They'll get 50 points ahead, and then I think it'll settle, and Brad Scott will settle them down, and then I think we might mount a comeback, and I think it'll end up, we might get close, and then it'll end up blowing out a little bit towards the end.
Yeah.
But I must say, and, you know, power to our fan base. We're a fan base that go win, lose or draw, drug saga or premierships. We're not Hawthorn, we're not Richmond. We turn up when it's, you can throw a lot of mud in our faces for whatever you want as a fan base. But one thing, we go to the football. We turn up. Always.
Yep.
We're not
Bulldogs.
No. And we, like, my uncle, he's the biggest Hawthorn fan in the world, and even he says, and he's someone who goes even when they were poor before their premiership, and he even admits that Hawthorn only support when the team is doing well. So we are not that club. And so I think we, as always, we'll get a fantastic contingent of supporters in the stand at the SCG. And they're just going to need to make some noise, is all I'm saying on that.
Yeah, yeah, I agree on that. So I predicted, I think it was about 40 points.
You said 42, I think, yeah.
42, so I don't remember. I'm feeling a bit more confident.
We've gone opposite ways.
Yeah. And
love it, love it.
I don't know why. I think
Draper, is it Draper?
Draper. I've said all year, he's going to be the litmus test for us. But I don't know.
You're putting a lot of pressure on him.
I like Hinding.
Yeah, I love that.
And just from a getting the ball perspective, Zach Reed and Harrison Jones didn't get any of the ball last week. No. Granted, Zach Reed only played a half. But
he didn't, in fairness, he didn't do a whole lot.
In
that half.
No, nor is it his role.
No.
Of course. But I just reckon I like Hobbs as an in and I like Hind as an in.
Yeah.
And
if we can see even, I just would love to see, it would just warm my little heart. I just want to see the bulldozing out of the centre. I just want to see a ship.
Yeah.
I want to see a, you know, what's it called? A dusty fend off thingy, and a bulldoze out of the middle. I want to see him, Drapes, throw someone out the way and just bulldoze his way just once.
And I just reckon, yeah, we don't have a superstar in the middle. We don't. Zach Merritt, star, but is he like the elite of the elite? Like, we could have that debate another day, but I just love the depth.
Yeah,
we're starting to sort of cultivate. That's what really excites me, and particularly if Archibald can have another game like that.
That's not
an anomaly, but that's going to become sort of his standard now, those sorts of games, kicking goals, imposing himself, tackles.
There's absolutely no option for him. Has to do it again. Has to.
So, So I had 42 points off. Oh, look, I'm going to say 37.
Still 5 points. Wow.
No, okay. No.
That's still a thrashing.
Seriously, I think.
Nah, not a thrashing.
I think it's going to be 11 points.
What?
Sydney's way.
Wow.
I think it's going to be a lot closer.
And are we going to get off to a good start, or are we going to trail the whole time?
I think we're going to be very efficient again.
Yeah.
So I like Langford and 2 metre Peter and Stringer being the guys goal kicking for us.
Yeah.
It's not a coincidence that those guys kick well. They're natural forwards.
Mm.
Natural forwards who don't shirk the issue, because people talk about
their ability. Yeah.
Yeah, people talk about courage. You also need courage.
Absolutely.
To kick a goal under pressure.
Absolutely.
And I like
that. That's
guys.
Why Langford's game last week, while very, very lackluster for him, he kicked 2 vital goals at vital moments. I think his last was a bit of a cherry, but you can have an off day. And then you can deliver on what you're there to do in a moment. And he did twice. So that's all you need. For me, that's a high grade standard game, even though he barely touched it. If you are just going to deliver on a moment, on a pivotal moment that goes so far into helping us win that game, you have done your job. I don't care if you haven't touched it for a half.
And it sends a signal to the opponent the following week, we just cannot sleep on this guy. We cannot just sag off him. We have to stick with him for the entire game. And so
I also like the mix. They're all like Stringer and Langford. You can argue they're quite similar, but I like the mix of 2 metre, Stringer and Langford. They all bring something very different and individualised and special to a forward group.
Agree. And then if that can be sort of supplanted with the midfield goals, Perkins, if maybe Sam Durham can bob up with another one, those sorts of guys, then suddenly Sydney don't score a lot of goals even when they're dominant. So
they did last week.
Yeah. But how good are Collingwood? They are bottom of the ladder.
And you know, you throw whatever you want at Kane Corns, but he said this morning, like, I don't think I don't think beating Collingwood is as, at this point in time, as good a feat as what it was last year. So I don't think Essendon should be too scared. Like, don't let that scare them.
So, yeah, I think forward lines with, I said supplant, I meant supplement, supplemented with the midfield goals, being efficient and a little bit of luck, I think we can go really close.
Okay.
And what I think would be great for the group, great for the team, I don't think the win or the loss is that significant. I think it's the way we play. If we come out of that game having really given it a good shake and being competitive and, building on last week, I think that'll stand us in good stead for the Saints following week.
Yep.
Who I still don't think are all that.
Yeah,
and,
I'm not swayed on the Saints at all.
Yeah,
they had 4 extra players last night. Of course, you could get over the line.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm strangely bullish, which is unlike me.
That is unlike you. I feel a bit uncomfortable.
All right. So I think we'll make it a quick one this week. We might. With your leave, we might leave the couch question till next week. You want to do a couch?
What? What do you mean? It's the people stick around for this.
This is true. All right. Let me get those. So last week was a ghost. Did you get any feedback about that?
I haven't actually checked. I'll check tonight. I'll check the app. I hope there is some feedback. I just want the end of the story. But as we said, he could be in a mental institution and he won't have access to his phones.
yeah. Well, come to us advice, just not critical advice because you might not get it. All right, you ready?
In time, in fairness. Yeah.
That's right.
All right, quick one.
How late is too late to cancel plans with people? Question.
Oh, never too late. I could leave it there. We can end the podcast there. Absolutely never too late. If it's going to compromise your peace, this is my rule on everything. If it is going to compromise my peace, my internal peace, in any such way, I am a massive no. And it's a no. I don't care. Don't worry about being rude. Don't worry about being disliked. If it's compromising your peace, you just walk away. You apologize. And if that person on the other end is supposed to be in your aura and supposed to be in your life, they will accept that response. And I think the big thing here to leave you on that bit of advice is to be honest. Instead of replying and saying, oh, I'm just not feeling up to it, instead of replying and cancelling and saying, oh, I've got a bit of a cold and I'm you know, be honest.
My cat's got gallstones.
That's right. I've just gotten called in to do some work. Like, instead of doing all that shit, be your authentic, vulnerable self and say, I'm not doing great mentally and I don't think, I'm just not up for it. I'm really, really sorry and I'm sorry if this has put you out. I'm sorry if you've got dressed up. I can't apologize enough. I just don't feel like I can mentally be the best version of myself. That is what I do.
Or like I did with this forecast, which we should have recorded last night, where I just said, oh, shit, I forgot.
Yeah, yeah. But what did I say to you? What did I say to you?
You were very good.
I said, don't stress. You were all
I didn't apologies. Forget. I just forgot to tell you.
You forgot to tell me, yeah. And it comes to I'm ready. I've got all my bits and bobs out, ready to go at 5 to 8, which I'm is shocked. Our usual record. And I sent him a text. And, you know, and I just said, don't stress, because I know that, I know solution as a human, and I know that he's not fucking me around on purpose. There's got to be a good reason. And these are the humans you want in your life. If you're worried about telling the person that you're not great, that if you're not in a good mental state and have to pull out of something, that they're going to get upset, well, I'm sorry, you're going to have to reassess some of the people in your life, because the people who want the best for you and are meant to be in your life are the ones who are going to ensure that you're putting your needs above anyone else.
Now, I agree with you, but, you know, also I like to play sort of devil's advocate. Let me say that the courtesy is to let them know as soon as you can.
Yeah.
So, you know, always remember it isn't just about you. So if there's another person there, particularly if they're setting aside a Saturday or a Sunday and you're going to meet somewhere, yeah, the least you can do is when you know, let them know as soon as you can. That's common courtesy, of course.
Of course. I mean, and that's the aim. But if you get to an hour before and you're having a panic attack to the point of, you know, and I've done it. I've had panic attacks right before I had to go somewhere. I've gone anyway, and then it's taken me a week to get over the whole thing because I didn't want to go, but I went and I put myself in a situation where I was harming my internal peace and I really struggled with it. And then it took me a week to come down from it and to heal from it. And that's not worth it. That's not worth anything.
That is because
that is the other side of it. How much therapy do you have to do just to go to this event to people please someone? That's the question. How much is it costing you? I ask myself that with everything I do that I'm questioning. Everything. Dating, friends, work, small business, clients. How much is this?
Podcasts,
you know, really slack co-hosts, like, oh, hosts, like, what? How much is this cost? How much of my peace is this costing me?
Can I call you out though?
Yeah.
You don't ask that question of Essendon.
That's because I have Stockholm syndrome. And I'm working on it. I'm going to therapy to work on it. Okay.
And neither do I. That's the irony is when it comes to this fucking footy club.
Talking about protecting peace, fuck me.
Deal here.
they cost me a fuck ton of my peace, and I'm still coming back.
And your money too.
Yeah, and my hard earned. But I don't bring it up because what did I say last week? There's nobody holding a gun to my head, making me buy, making me support, making me watch, making me listen. No one. If I want to take that little bit of stress out of my life every week, I won't tune in. I won't pay my membership. But I'm the cost versus the happiness is probably outweighed a little bit, as in the happiness outweighs the cost a little bit.
Yeah. For me, like, it's, I guess it's just part of who I am because I've supported this. I had an Essendon bib, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been with me my whole life, but it's almost like I'm past the point of no return now.
That's right.
So if I was to drop off and then we become good, like, I'm kind of like, okay, you've got to ride this train.
Yeah, that's right. Too far gone, way too far gone.
And the decades now, and it is decades, of mediocrity and of poor performance and of hopes dashed and that wave of pre-season, oh, maybe we are going to be good, you get sucked in and then you come crashing down to a thud. All that will be worth it if in 5 years' time we win a flag.
I don't know. Maybe I look at it differently, but I truly, and I say this to my core with every bit of honesty I have in my body, I don't feel entitled to winning a premiership or a final. I don't. I don't feel like I'm entitled to it. I genuinely feel that. I feel a collective deserving in that we are really passionate supporters who have been through the league's most horror period, saga. And I feel like we deserve to be kind of, we deserve some happiness from it because we've stuck so fat and we're the kind of most supportive supporters in the league because I stand by the fact that no other team would have survived that. In fact, probably five teams would have folded because Bulldogs, North, Saints, they barely have supported anyway. And if they put their club through the saga that we did, they would have folded. And so I feel a spiritual deservingness that we deserve just some happiness because of the hardship, but I don't feel anybody is, and I don't personally feel entitled to it.
But neither do I. I do think we're entitled to certain things. We're entitled to a well-run club. We're entitled.
Are you though? But are you?
Yeah, I don't think.
I don't think so. I don't think who said when you support an AFL club that you're entitled to being done well?
Maybe entitled isn't the right word. I don't think we're entitled to if you support a footy team just to win premierships, the odds are you'll be disappointed because of every 100 AFL supporters, there's not a large percentage that win flags. It's a small percentage. Mm. But I think we're entitled to have the right structure in place at the club. We're entitled to have a club that is run by people who, you know, were driven by their own self-interest, like I think some of the previous administrators. You want the right things in place. You want a coach that's moving forward. I think it's fair to, when you don't have those, to be asking the question, no, we need them. These things need to change. Mm. This is a well-supported club. It does have a lot of money relative to other clubs. Mm-hmm. And we do deserve certain things in place, I think. We certainly aren't entitled to any kind of on-field success, really. That's kind of how I view it. But I also don't. Like, I get pleasure out of a win, knowing we'll never win the flag, or we won't win the flag for that year. We're not winning the flag this year.
No.
We all know this. Mm. But we're still going along, A, for the hope of winning a game. B, it's to see players developing. Yeah. C, it's to potentially think maybe we're building something that could lead to a flag.
The potential that kills
us. Yeah, that's right. It could all come to nothing.
And it has, but here we are. And that's what I just feel like it's my responsibility for. I've committed to supporting a team, and even with NBA, with whichever sport you're, when you commit to a team, that's what you get. Mm. You get what you get. And you don't get upset, as they teach kids these days. You get what—that's what my niece says to me. You get what you get, and you don't get upset. That's what they try to teach her, you know. Gratitude, basically. And it's just—I just find it's my responsibility. And if I don't want to be upset and let down, I'll go support lawn bowls or something, or gymnastics, or I don't know. Is there any sport that doesn't let you down?
This is the golden rule. My final thought is, you can change your hair color. You can change your career, you can change your partner, you can change your gender. You cannot change your footy team.
Tinder blood.
You cannot. No. Once maybe you can when you're 5-6 potentially. Maybe there's an argument to say that, but you can't.
And you never trust a defector. Anyone who's defected, you never trust. As an adult.
Yep. Correct.
Or screw you sideways. Never turn your back on. My final word: never turn your back on a defector.
Well, on those wide words, we'll fold up the couch, and we'll thank everyone that listened. Check out the sponsor, Something About Cake. Like and subscribe, people. Yes. As I said, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your enemies, and we'll see you on the podcast on Monday.
See you guys. Thanks for listening.
Go Bombers.
Oh, I think the Bombers are-